Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Steve Ekstrom here, host of the Business Class podcast, and today's guest is somebody I've been looking forward to chatting with for quite some time now, Jack Johnson, Chief Advocacy Officer at Destinations International, who also is the Director of Board Relations with the Foundation. For folks who, like me, aren't familiar with the Foundation for DI, what does it do?
It's changed, actually, recently. It was traditionally a granting foundation in the travel sector. You had an idea that you wanted to test or research you wanted to do, you would go to the foundation. And this was back when it was called the Destination and Travel Foundation. We, over the last several years, in conjunction with rebuilding what was then DMAI, is now the Destinations International Association, or DI. We also reshaped the foundation and rebuilt the foundation. To give it a focus that would be in a supporting role to the association. So it does those things that are charitable, but we make our decisions based on whether they fit within the mission of Destinations International. So it's become the foundation for research or advocacy efforts that are built around destination organizations, very specifically for that sector of the travel industry.
Can you cite a specific example of the foundation doing that work and it supporting the association?
So, for instance, it is currently underwriting what we call a destination organization awareness campaign. One of the problems that we have found is that most people do not understand what a destination organization does. We call ourselves so many different things, CVBs, tourism bureaus, whatever. And most elected officials, frankly, most people in the community don't understand it. So we're putting in the materials that can help our members explain who they are, what they do, and why it's so essential. And then we're going to mirror that campaign on a national basis and pushing that same message out over and over, and then get some of our industry partners also to send that message out. And slowly over the next couple of years, piece by piece, through direct appeals to organizations like the U.S. Conference of Mayors, for instance, or through direct mail, email that we sent to legislators, elected officials, at any level of government, our stuff that we get in the mainstream press, plus whatever the destination organization is doing to mirror that messaging through the toolkit. The other thing we're working on right now is a research project. It's an updating of a 2014 research study, but it's a much broader face to it. It's called Destination Promotion, a catalyst for destination vitality or community vitality. We want to make the case once and for all that we're not in the business to put heads in beds. That's something that happens because of what we do, but we want to actually make people understand that it's not just the jobs and it's not just the economic impact, but it's that whole essence of community, that sense of place that a destination organization is part of making that spills over and benefits universities, hospitals, et cetera, any major employer. So the foundation tries to zero in on key research projects like that kind of help explain what our industry is. The other focus we have is equity, diversity, and inclusion. The foundation has been the underwriter, primary underwriter, for all the work that has been done on the association side, including building out an extensive department, the CEO pledge, the allyship letter, and a bevy of resources that are now currently available, including an assessment so every destination organization can measure themselves against a standard or measure themselves against each other or and see where they need to make improvements. So it's been a major effort to build that out. Our third area, global engagement. Destinations International has been traditionally a North American-centric, the bulk of our membership being in U.S. and Canada. We are helping them expand through outreach, through special programs that are targeting destination organizations in Mexico, in Latin America, and in Europe at the moment, basically finding ways to engage. So we create what is called a Pathfinder program. We, over a three-year period, it helps those destination organizations identify what it is they need help on, what is unique to Mexico or what is unique to Germany, that we can help provide. So the foundation has that. And then the other area we dabble in is education and scholarship. We run the Destination International Foundation runs the 30 Under 30 program, which is our emerging leaders program. We've expanded that into, instead of just being an award program, a year-round mentorship program, complete with networking opportunities and educational opportunities. This has been recently expanded to bring in the alumni and create a cross connections between the alumni and the 30 under current class of 30 under 30. And then we actually, in order to give them sort of a means of having impact in the industry, we've been using them and paying their way to participate in various trade shows or conferences, whatever, across the world, and actually be able to present at those too and engage in conversations with other folks. So that's just one of the ways.
Just one, you know, but you mentioned you mentioned a few that were pretty important there. When you look back, you've been a DI for 7 years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Just hit my anniversary.
Congrats. What is something you're most proud of?
There's two things I'm most proud of, and they're both kind of linked back to the foundation one way or the other. In 2019, I gave a speech at the annual convention, and it was a result of work that we had been doing for several years, helping destination organizations advocate on their behalf and defend themselves from threats to their budget or other threats that may exist out there. And it just felt like every day we'd just come in and do the same thing over and over again. And the only thing different would be the destination, which made us kind of think that there was a basic core problem out there. So we spent a lot of time researching and looking in at destination organizations from the outside. So not how they would tell us, but we would look at their websites, we would look at their press coverage. And the ability to do all this kind of research was actually made possible by foundation, either supporting us through the ability to hire some interns and stuff like that to help us, or actually the pay for the computer programming and software that we needed to actually do the searching. And we came back with four key findings that led us to point out that we believe the destination organizations have kind of lost their way. And they're also not keeping up with the reality of the current world. Somehow along the line, they've lost this core belief that their ultimate customer is actually the residents of their community. They have been so focused either on visitors or focused on filling hotel rooms because that's their primary source of funding that they kind of lost sight of the fact that everything they do is really, whether it's the taxes they generate, whether it's the economic activity they generate, whether it's the jobs they create, whether it's the sense of place they create in a destination, all of that is for the residents of the destination. So they're actually the ones. And frankly, the destination organizations have almost a food fiduciary responsibility. They need to review themselves as steward of the community and make sure that A, everyone knows what they're doing, B, that they're spending those resources wisely, but also when they craft and storytell and protect the brand of that destination. They are keepers of the brand, but they don't own the brand. The brand should represent everyone in that destination, and therefore they have a responsibility to connect with everyone in that destination. So changing that whole mindset to what we call becoming a community shared value, where everyone in the community has a shared value similar to the way that they have about education and healthcare and utilities. They also believe and see that destination promotion is something that's necessary and essential. That has been one. And like I said, all that work, most of that work is all funded by the foundation. So I greatly appreciate that. The other part was actually reshaping when we reshaped the foundation. Like I said, it used to be merely a traditional grant-making foundation. We wanted to make it into something a little bit better, bigger, more important. We wanted it to be viewed as kind of like the research and development arm of our industry. We wanted it to be looked at as kind of like a think tank for our industry. developing not just content, but thoughts and ideas and approaches, not just developing, identifying problems, but developing solutions and stuff like that that could be shared. We went through a major planning effort with our board, kind of came back with a good sense of what we call the guardrails, which is what we engage in has to be something that is innovative for our industry or we're incubating. So for instance, the foundation originally incubated the advocacy summit, which has now since been passed over to the association. It's been a major successful event for us every year, but those are the type of things it innovates. It incubates new tools. It incubated the EDI assessment. It did the before that, the EIC tool. And it's just, like I said, it innovates new ideas or incubates new ideas, which is where community shared value has come from and where one of the projects we're working on now in regards to opposing the concept of travel boycotts, that thought process, the ability to gather the resources needed, the thought-minded people to bring them to the table, to kind of work through, I don't want to say ideology, but basically the philosophical approach of how we get to things and then start laying that out in a very thoughtful manner. And to get what I call a grassroots approach. So we use destination organization employees to solve the problems that they're facing every day. They identify them for us and they help us solve them. And so that actually, we are actually turning this foundation slowly, year by year, like I said, into that R&D department, into that think tank. We do a program right now at an annual convention in which we just take on a basic public policy issue. So last year we took on crime and safety, which is not exactly in the wheelhouse of a destination organization, but it's something they can't avoid and have to face. So we, in addition to doing a series of thoughtful meetings with various committees within the DI committee system, the Destinations International Foundation brought together what we call the think tank, the foundation challenge that we do at the annual convention every year, where we bring together the 30 under 30 people that are in our program there. We bring in another group of 30 who went through the CDME program over at Destinations International. And then we bring in some key other outside industry people, and we put them in a room for 2 days, and we try to come up with some ideas, solutions, approaches, whatever, to the problem that is picked.
Can I ask what's this year's issue? Or do we have to wait until the conference?
I haven't announced it yet, but we'll announce it shortly. It's basically, how does a blue destination in a red state or a red destination in a blue state, how does it operate, get its message out, but also how does it operate within that political framework that they have to live in? It's very, it's a political minefield, and we want to come up with the ways to talk, other approaches that can be used, or just ways of keeping communication lines open and allowing people to understand the impact, perhaps, of particularly elected officials, the impact of how they talk about things and what they're talking about.
What soft skill do you think has been most valuable to you in building your career?
Soft skills. I'm very observant. I couldn't be this, I'd probably be a detective or something like that. I believe, like I said, in this idea of approaching things through a grassroots approach, which means you really have to spend a lot of time listening and a lot of time and empathy for understanding where they are. And you've got to have a passion or whatever for what we're all doing to make you want to make it better. We always talk about the song, the theme song from the movie Norma Rae, and that phrase in there that says, maybe what's good gets a little bit better and maybe what's bad gets gone. And really, that's the focus we have on it. So helping other people do that is what we really, really enjoy.
Who do you look up to as a mentor?
Oh, I've had several. My background is in politics. I fell in love with politics almost the same time I fell in love before. Shortly after falling in love with travel, I guess. So my initial boss at when I worked for the Illinois House of Representatives, Veronica Lynch, was amazing. I probably learned more from her than anyone. her boss, who was the Speaker of the House at the time, who I lucked out with and connected early on and was able to spend a lot of time working one-on-one with when I was on the staff and maintained that relationship over the years, a guy by the name of Michael Madigan. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant thinker. Following that, a guy by the name of James Riley, who was deputy governor and a Republican, and I was a Democrat, and he hired me, which was sweet. But he was took over as head of what was called the McPeer Authority in Chicago, so overran Navy Pier and ran McCormick Place. And that's where I went for a job that I thought I would be there for 5 years and was kind of ended up staying 18 years. It's where I truly fell in love with the industry. And the last person I'd throw out there would be my current boss, is Don Walsh. Me and him have been together for, God, what, 5, 7, 12 years now. I technically hired him for the job in Chicago when I was acting CEO, and he hired me, brought me with when he took the job at DI. Both of those jobs have been exceedingly joyful to work for, and I probably learned more from him than anyone else in the industry.
What do you hope people learn from you?
Oh, I've often said if I could achieve one thing in my career, was that I would put an end to the phrase heads in beds, but that's a totally different way. What I hope people learn is the amazing power of travel. I hope they learn that what's key to that is just the interaction with people. One of the frustrating, coming from a political background, the frustrating world we're in right now is getting people to listen to each other and interact with each other or even talk to each other. I meet so many people who, for instance, won't come to Texas, which is where I live right now. I live in San Antonio. And I'm like, you may politically disagree with these people, but A, the state's not as red as you may think it is. Or if you're going to another Illinois, for instance, where I used to live, the state is not as blue as you think it is. But B, the people there are incredibly friendly. So unless you poke them or something, you will have an amazing experience and you will learn so much. And that's the part. I hope people understand that interaction with people one-on-one is so key to everything we do. And so key to keeping moving forward society-wise, and so key to personal health, mental health. And that involves empathy. That involves understanding that most of the things that people think are true in life are not true. They just haven't been proved false yet. So they're still technically open up for debate. So you got to cut everyone a lot of slack and let them work through things the same way. I don't know how succinctly to put it. It's just, we just all talk to each other.
Tell me about a travel experience that you had where you met somebody that you otherwise probably wouldn't have, and what you took away from that.
I always talk, I often talk about the one thing my parents did right, was that they took me and my siblings on a vacation every year. In 1967, we went to the World's Fair, and I was 7 years old. And that really was the first time that I ever met a lot of people who weren't Americans, basically. People were speaking differently and talking differently and dressed differently. This was the heart of the Cold War. And I remember we were going into the Soviet embassy, Soviet pavilion. And I'm like, the only communists I know are like Rocky, the two on Rocky and Bullwinkle, Natasha and Boris. And I still remember being nervous about going in there and just meeting my first Soviet. Russian was like mind blowing, because it was like, he gave me a print. He gave me a pin. He was friendly like that. So I'd start there. I've met so many people that I never would meet. God, I can't think of another good example. Which is awful, right? Because this is my industry.
So I have a different question then.
Okay.
And we'll wind down from here. What's on your bucket list?
Job-wise or vacation or trip-wise or life-wise?
Life-wise.
There's a lot of travel I would still like to do. I've always wanted to get to Antarctica. And I want to get there before it completely melts. I've always, despite my getting over my fear of Russians at age 7, has led me to always want to go to Russia. That seems so culturally different. There's some things here at work that I still have boxes to check off. I genuinely want to see what we can do to engage this conversation with elected officials, with key stakeholders about what a destination organization does. So I'm passionate about that. And I want that to be understood. I want them to be seen as center of the economic strategy. I just moved here to San Antonio, so I really like to become like a Texan.
How will you know when you're a Texan?
I don't know how I'm going to know. I don't know how many years it's going to take, but I guess I would like to be a Texan. Most of my bucket items are just a couple things I need to check off at work and then a lot of travel. So many places I want to go to.
If you had a piece of advice for somebody who is just getting started in the travel industry and who knows, may end up working for a destination or a trade association in the future, what would it be?
First advice would be take a look at working at a destination organization because no one goes to school. I've only met one person my whole life that said, I want to grow up and work at a destination organization. And it was because her mother worked there. Too few people know about what it is we do and how we operate within the travel ecosystem. So that advice number one. Advice number three, make sure this is something you're passionate about. Because passion is that thing that drives you day in, day out. Whether it's in a destination and the work that you do there to promote that destination, or whether you're in the industry and you're lucky enough to be someone like me who gets to help facilitate and move the industry forward. It is a rewarding industry. It can be a very exhausting industry. Yet sometimes it can be a poorly paying industry. But it's the best industry that I've found. But I always tell destination organizations the same thing, is look around your staff. And if there's anyone, I don't care how skilled they are at doing X, Y, or Z, if they're not passionate about the travel industry, get rid of them and replace them. Because long term, you're going to be worse off.
How can people support the foundation?
Multiple ways. Our biggest source of income is an annual giving campaign by destination organizations, our membership themselves. But you can go online and donate. You can actually target donations if you want to scholarships in education or just general or advocacy and research, whatever. We have multiple auctions. We are maturing as a foundation, which is harder than I thought it would be. There'll be more fundraising opportunities for whether it's an individual or an organization that'll be appearing over the next couple of years. So just, go to our website, sign up for the newsletter and stay in touch.
Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
Can you donate to the foundation? No.
You'll get a couple bucks. I might bid generously on some of those auction items.
I'm buying a couple pairs of cowboy boots for the one auction in Dallas. So if you're coming to convention time.
Yeah.
What's with the planes behind you?
So I'm actually house sitting. Right.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
And I'm using my friend's office. I'm a digital nomad. So at the DI like conference fun. Last year, if you stepped outside of the hotel in Toronto, there was an RV parked in the driveway. That was mine. Yeah, I've been a digital nomad for the last year and a half, which makes me a professional tourist.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been traveling and it's been a really great experience. So I.
Cool.
The URL for the foundation?
We are destinationsinternationalfoundation.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your time, your insight, and the great work that you do. If there's any way that me and my team can help, by all means, we're a learning organization first and foremost. And one teaches, two learn. Thank you so much, Jack. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And maybe what's good gets a little bit better. And maybe what's bad gets gone.